Okay, we're up to Perikopes Pasuk. I want to review the Pasuk of Yudeis one more time. But before I do Pasuk Yudeis, I want to mention something I forgot to tell you, something very short in Pasuk Tes. Esni Yoyre Deya. To whom will I teach knowledge, impart knowledge? We all know that there are four parts of Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, the son of the Rush. He broke up all halacha, all of modern day halacha, that's Nogia, halacha l'maisa, besides inyanim relating to the Beis HaMikdash, into four portions, to four, the Arbar Turim, Archaim, Yerdeya, Chesha Mishpat, and Evno Ezer. And where did he select these terms for the four portions, Arachayim? So it all comes from Pesukim. Pesukim in Tanakh. You have to know Tanakh on your fingertips. everything comes from Tanakh. So Arachayim is a Pasuk in Mishlei. I'm embarrassed that I forgot the Pasuk. And Chosh HaMishvat obviously is in the Torah. The Chosh HaMishvat of Aaron HaKoyin. And Eden HaEzer is a Pasuk in Shmuel. It's a pasuk in Shmuel where someone was anointed. They took him to Evan Ho'ezer. It's the name of a place. And Yoredeya is the pasuk right here in Yeshaya. Esmi Yoredeya. So this is where it comes from. This is where the Torah selected this portion of Shulchan Aruch. He called it after these words, Yoredeya. Why? So I was speaking with someone yesterday, so he told me why this pasuk. What does Yoredeya have to do, this pasuk have to do with all of the inyanim of Yoredeya? Ruba deals with that. A good portion of it deals with food, macholos wasuras, of shchita, melicha, trefos, taruvis, basabacholov. It deals with inyanim. This is what you have to learn to get smicha. You learn inyanim Yoredeya, at least Yoredeya chelak aleph. So that's what's happening here in this pasuk. In this pasuk, Hashem is saying, "Gimulei mecholav atikei mishadayim." Someone who's careful, well, it's referring like to Moshe. As we mentioned in the Medrash yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse from a non-Jewish woman because he was osid. He knew that he was destined to speak with the Shechina, and therefore he was not allowed. He did not hashkocha pratis. He did not nurse from a non-Jewish woman. So here, that's really what this pasuk was saying. Gimul mechol atikim mishtayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was very careful in what he consumed, and that at least the first chelik of Yoredeya is all about the person has to be careful what he takes into his body. It should be a proper shchita, no basa b'cholov. This should be melicha, no taruvis, so on and so forth. So that is why it appears the Torah selected the term Yoredeya for the section of Shulchan Aruch that deals by and large with Ma'acholoi Swasus, with the Medrash. If it's only really, we mentioned it, it's a rhetorical question. It's who should I teach to the children? He's being sarcastic. Should I teach it to the children? The children are too young to understand anything I have to say, so there's no one left. It's hopeless. The adults don't want to listen, and the children are too young, and they're not mature enough to hear what I have to say, so there's no hope for Klal Yisrael. Or, no, Adarabah, they are the only hope for Klal Yisrael. They're adults, they're finished. They're beyond hope. The best I can possibly hope for is to the new generation of young children. I'll take them and I'll nurture them and I'll teach them. They're the ones that I can work with and rebuild Klal Yisrael with. But it refers to this thing of being careful what you eat, and that's what we have here, the word Yoredeya. Okay, now let's go back to Pasuk Yudeis. We learned this pasuk yesterday. L'pshut shel mikra she amar aleihem, the navi I said to them, it was said to them, zos hamenucha, this is rest, this is your rest, the menucha. Hey hami ha'idia, hanichu le'ayef, leave the tired alone. Hanichu means to give rest to the tired. There are people that are tired. Give them rest, and if you will give them rest, he repeats what he said in the beginning of the pasuk, zos hamenucha, this will be rest for you. But velo avush shemoa, you do not want to listen to what I have to say. So we explained this yesterday to mean simply that he's giving musar to the people of his generation that would rob, steal, extort from the poor, and the poor are called tired. They have nothing. They the entire day they run from home to home begging for a piece of bread. They're tired from their pursuit, from pursuing finding something to eat. And yet, all of these wealthy people, they have nothing better to do but to steal the few morsels of bread that the poor have. Stop! Don't do that. This, if you will give rest to the tired, in other words, you'll just stop robbing from them, and maybe you'll be kind enough to give them what to eat, this in turn will be a blessing for you. Mida keneged mida. You have given someone menucha. Someone who's tired, you gave them menucha. Mida keneged mida. Vizos ha-menucha. This will be a zuchus that you will have menucha sanefesh. You will have what's called mar goa. Mar goa is another word which means rest. So that is all the mefarshim, the parashanim, and the pasuk here, the Marikara, the Ibn Ezra, Rashi doesn't say anything over here, and the Mitzudos, they all basically say the same exact idea, is that there was a very large segment of the Jewish people that were in a category of oyef. They were tired. They were suffering. And the people that were not suffering had no compassion, and robbed them and gave them a hard time. That's not a good thing. That you should not do that. Be kind, give rest to the tired, and that will serve as a zuchus that you will also have rest, you will have menucha. That is the pshuta shel mikra. There are two other things that I came across. I found to be a little bit very interesting. Someone in Yeshiva showed this to me yesterday, that in the Toichachon Parshas Kisavo, these same two words appear, the word menucha and the word mar geya. These are two words which mean the same thing, rest. And it's towards the end of the Toichachon. It's very frightening pasuk. Uva goyim, after Moshe Rabbeinu goes through many, many psukim and describes incredible horrors that will come upon the Jewish people if they don't listen to Hashem's mitzvos. Uva goyim ohei mulo sargia, you'll go into exile. And among these nations, you think finally, okay, you lost the Beis Hamikdash, there's a Churban, you're in Golos, the Shechina is no longer Shoira, but at least, you know, you're in Golos, you have a good life in Golos, you have Menucha Sanefesh in Golos. No. You'll have Golos, you'll lose the milus of Eretz Yisrael, and in Golos you will have no Menucha. Uva goyim hohem lo sargia, you will find no rest. V'lo yihye monoach. We possibly repeat this often. The Torah also this repetition. And there will be no rest l'chaf raglecha, for the sole of your feet. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah. Then he goes on to say other things. So Yeshaya, in this pasuk, is referring to the Torah. And he's telling them, Klal Yisrael, you know, there's a Torah. And then the Torah, there's a Parashas Kisavah. They have the Torah. They're dealing Yeshaya. They had the Torah. The Torah was not yet fulfilled. The Torah was first fulfilled after. The beginning of the Torah was partially fulfilled when Sanherib exiled the Aser Sashvatim. He's speaking directly now to the Malchus of Yehuda, the survivors. There still was the Beis Hamikdash, and he told them, "Do tshuva, because if you're not going to do tshuva, you are going to suffer from this pasuk in Parashas Kisavo in Perikov Ches Pasuk Samachay." Lo sargia v'lo yemanoach, and that's what he's telling them here in pasuk Yedbeis. Klal Yisrael, Asha Amar Alehem, Zos Hamenucha. You still have an Eretz Yisrael. You still have a Beis Hamikdash. Do tshuva, because if you'll do tshuva, you'll still have something left. This is the menucha. Zos Hamenucha, Hanichu leoyev. Give rest to the tired. V'zos Hamargeya. Be good. Don't go and rob the poor. V'zos hamargeya, and you'll continue to have menucha here in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll not have to suffer the pasuk in the Torah. Uvagoyim ohem lo sargia v'lo yihye monoach l'chaf raglach.
Is this enough then for Kodesh Baruch Hu? We talked the previous pasuk, tzav, kaf, all the other things. Does that mean, as Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying through Yeshaya, as I'm willing to accept at the minimum bare level, the standard, at least treat people
differently. Yes,
that
yes.
Alone will give you manucha. You won't have
yes,
to
yes, yes.
Everything else is, if I can get you to do it, fine. If not, at least I'll accept this.
Absolutely. You know, we say every day in the evening, Volitzim Goel, Ulshove Fesha Biakov Nulam Hashem. Right? The first pasuk of Volitzion, every day. So what does it mean, Ulshove Fesha? Nefesha means a person that does an aver l'hachas. Hashem says, I'm willing to bring the geula. I'm not asking you to be tzaddikim gemurim. Just don't sin with a l'hachas, a l'shma. You can sin. If you want to sin, sin. Fine. But don't sin with a brain, with a hana, with a hislavas. Uvol Tzion goel, Hashem, the geula will come to Tzion. For what? Uleshove fesha b'Yaakov. For those people that will just take a step back from pesha, from rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a lishma, you'll be in good shape. So you see from that pasuk itself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not asking very much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking on everyone's, wherever a person finds himself in his level, just try to take baby steps to improve your ways.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this pasuk, your base is focusing more than Adam la Adam. That's the primary.
It's probably both. You can't have one without the other. There's an Adam bin Adam l'chaver, Adam l'chamakom. They cannot be separated. Of course, Adam l'chavero is worse. We have many mamarei chazal. Hakadosh Baruch Hu sinas chinam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is moichel on his part. But it's all in the framework of Adam l'chamakom as well. It's both. I mean, obviously, it depends on the situation. Every person, every situation, every generation is different, has its problems, its nisyonos, and it's all relative. Okay, one other idea, and this is a very interesting idea. This idea I saw in the Das Sofrim. You have to look it up and see what it's. I saw it in the English version. I don't have the Hebrew version of the Das Sofrim. It's a likut of a farshim was written about 100 years ago. I think the Mechaber was Nifter about 40 years ago, someone told me. It's a very good parish on Nevi'im. I think he also has a Chumash as well. I don't know the name of the Mechaber. And I think most of it's been translated into English. And it's a Likud. It's a Likud of Farshim on Nevi'im. And he says something here, the way he explains it is, he says it in just a few words, and I'm not sure what I'm saying is correct. And if it's correct, it's an incredible chiddush. And it appears that he's taking this from the Targum. If you read the Targum, it doesn't hit you. But the way he explains this idea, and then you go back to the Targum, Yonis Amin Azil, it appears that's what he's trying to say. Now let me give you some background. We know in Sefer Melachim, we learn all about the Bamos. We know that once there is a Beis Hamikdash, no longer is a individual allowed to offer a korban on a private altar. That means until they came in, until there was the Beis Hamikdash before, during Kibush V'Chilik, during the first 14 years of conquest, when Bnei Yisrael, they were in Gidon, and they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, they came into Eretz Yisrael, every single person, if he wants to bring a korban, can go to his backyard, build a mizbeach, and on the mizbeach can offer a korban shlomim. Carbon oila. I'm not exactly sure the details of what you're allowed to offer on a bamba. It's very complicated, a lot of gemaras. But you can basically offer a private offering on a private altar. There are rules. The mizbech must be perfectly square and has to have corners. It doesn't have to be 32 amos by 32 amos or 28 amos. All of the complex laws of the mizbech and the Beis Hamikdash do not apply to a private bamba. And the person can bring a certain group of carbonos on a mizbech. Fine. Once they came to Shiloh, it says in the Paskei Lo Yivasim Adot El Hamanucha V'El Hanachla. Once they came to Shiloh, Shiloh was the Mishkan for Klal Yisrael for 369 years. They were located in Shiloh. It was the equivalent of the Beis Hamikdash. There were differences, of course, but for the time it was, Akilu was the Beis Hamikdash. That was called the Menucha. You're no longer allowed to offer a carbon on a private bama. The only place where korbanos can be offered is in the base, is in Shiloh, Mishkan Shiloh, which was equivalent to the Beis Hamikdash. It's forbidden. When Shiloh was Chorav, during the time of Eli HaKohen and his sons Chofni and Pinchas, they were killed at the time when Shiloh was destroyed. Then there was a period of time of no v'givon for, I think it was 57 years, where, once again, it was called the Bama Gedol. The Mishkan was transferred to a new location, but it did not have the status of a Mikdash. It had the status of a Bama Gedola. Once again, the Jewish people were allowed to offer korbanos in private altars. No problem. Everyone in their backyard, you don't have to travel. If you live all the way in the south, you live in the north, you live along the Mediterranean. You don't have to make a trip to the base of Samilish to bring a carbon. You can make a carbon in your backyard, build a nice mizbeach, get a rav. The rav will give a rav, probably the industry, a rav hamachshir, says the mizbeach is a kosher mizbeach. It meets all the dimensions, different echsherim. There's the badatz, the OU, and the OK, the chavkei, and this one was better, a better echsher. You ever buy schach? I bought a schach this year, and I got all the different echsherim. This one, what's the chilling between this schach and that schach? This snack, and the badatz doesn't hold from this, but this one holds from that. I have no doubt about it. The bombers, to get a hechsher on the bombers, get a stamp on the bomber. Who certified the bomber as being a kosher bomber? It's industry, big business. Fine, that was the way it was for another 57 years. And then what happened? Then they moved. Then they moved to the Beit David HaMelech. David HaMelech through Leshichno Sidrashu Uvaso Shama. It was Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. That Yerushalayim was selected to be the place of the permanent resting place of the Shechina, and the Beis Hamikdash was put into motion. David HaMelech, he went and he found Aravna, he found the place where they would build the Beis Hamikdash and Ruach HaKodesh with the Shisin and the Shem, with the Shem Hashem. And but Hashem told David, no, you're not going to build the Beis Hamikdash because you spilled blood. We're going to wait for Shlomo HaMelech. Fine, Shlomo HaMelech, he builds the Beis HaMikdash. Su'ush, Arim, Nashechem, they bring the Aron in. And that's history. For 410 years, we had the Bayis Rishon, and that's the period that we're discussing right now, is towards the end of that period of the Bayis Rishon, the last 100 years, 150 years, the Bayis Rishon is during the lifetime of Yeshayah. Okay, fine. So now, that's what it means in the Pasuk. This was the Nachla. And by the way, there are different interpretations of the Pasuk. Some touch the Pasuk a little bit differently, but basically it's the same idea, however you interpret the Pasuk, of which word refers to which Shiloh and which word refers to Yerushalayim. Everyone agrees. Now we have a Beis HaMikdash. You are no longer allowed to offer private korbanos on bamos. That's it. It's over. And it's over for good. Forever. Even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, after the Bayis Rishon was Scharaf, that's it, Kedusha, Rishon, Nekich, L'Shaita, either, whatever it was, once we come to that point in time, the Bamos, the period of Bamos is over forever. There's never going to come a time anymore when we're allowed, it never happened after that time, or there will be a time when once again we're allowed to offer Korbanos and private Bamos. Fine. We learn in Sefer Melachim over and over. This repeats itself at least 100 times. I know 100, but it repeats itself many, many times. Talks about the different accomplishments of the kings and their failures, their successes and failures. Some kings were good, some were no good, some did have Avodah Zarah, some did not do Avodah Zarah. And even concerning the best kings, it says, oh, they were very good, they did Hayosha Be'enei Hashem. But there's one thing they did not do. They did not remove the Bamos. There was an obsession that people were obsessed with bamos, even though it was forbidden, it was categorically forbidden. We have a Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to bring a carbon to private bama. People didn't care. They built private bamos and they offered korbanos. And the kings, they looked the other way. That's what it says in the Pasuk. They didn't take away, they knew there was a sin going on. People were bringing korbanos on bamos. And they didn't care. They looked the other way. Lohesir es habamos. Yeah?
Bamos at that time was the standard religion.
Yeah.
For all the Goyim.
Okay.
The nations around.
That's an approach.
So the kings looked to size and we can't fight this.
We can't fight this. All right. But they criticize. They criticize over and over again. And this you learn Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, Melachim Beis, over and over and over. The bamos. What in the world is going on? So what's Takad Pshat? Why did the people sin and offer the korbanos to Hashem, and why didn't the king stop this? So there's a very popular answer, and it really borders on what you just said. You always hear this answer, you read the psalm, they tell you this answer over and over, is we have to understand they lived in these people, the Nevi'im, were very holy people. During this period of time, it was Shechina, was Shara, we have no clue what kind of life they lived. This was the average person in the street. Was greater than a Tana. I remember hearing, I don't remember who said this, was it the Gra? The Gra said, I think it was the Gra. The Gra said that he has a taste of what it might have been like to be a Tana. Gra obviously lived pretty recently, relatively speaking, But he felt that he had a little bit of a taste of the kedusha of what it was like to be a Tana. But it's impossible to be masig what the average person was like, the spiritual level of the simplest person living in the time of the Nevi'im. We're not dealing with the Nevi'im. Navi, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Shechir Yashar, forget about it. There's nothing to talk about. We have any understanding of their sanctity. But the average person who lived at the time, the average religious Jew who lived during the time period of the Nevi'im, was on a level that is far, far beyond anything we could, what a holy Tana was. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So it's just mind-boggling what kind of lives they lived. And they had a desire to serve Hashem, and it was a sin. You have to come to the Beis HaMikdash. But to go to the Beis HaMikdash is a three-month trip. If you live in the south, you live in Eilat, how are you going to go get to Yerushalayim? You know what a trip that is in those days. You live in the north, it wasn't like today, you get on a bus, you get in a car, and there was a sakana to travel. Where are you going to stay every night? It was impossible. So people can only come to the Beis HaMikdash very rarely. How many times a year were they able to come? Three times a year, less, depending on Shalosh Pam Bashana, Yer Kol Zechurcha. People had a desire to come close to Hashem through Korbanos. They couldn't control themselves. So they said, we're gonna sin. We need an outlet to serve Hashem. It's an Aveiro Lishma. It's an Aveiro Lishma. So, Moshe Lamoha Davidoyme, you come to Shul, go to Shul today. On the Shul, there are 20 pamphlets, parsha sheets from this organization, that organization. 50, especially Eretz Yisrael, it's totally out of control. America also, it's getting there. And are you allowed to read a parashah during Chazor Sashatz, during davening? It's absolutely usher. It's usher to read a parashah. You're supposed to listen to the Chazor Sashatz, you're supposed to listen to tefillah. Are you allowed? It's usher. Mm-hmm. Yet, do the Rabbanim protest?
There were shuls that banned it.
Okay, there are shuls, very few shuls. But even the shuls that banned it, they still find them floating around. Does anyone protest? Come on, why not? There are bigger battles to fight. It's not so big. So someone's going to be better. Someone should be reading the parashah sheet than playing with the cell phone, BlackBerry, and typing and texting during Chazor Sashatz. There are bigger battles to fight. Don't worry about it. Halavai. So they read a good var, a little musar. It's not the end of the world. So we're not. No one's makban on this today. Whatever. Same thing. That was the same mentality. No, it's an Avera. So what did the person do already? He took an animal and he shechted it. How bad? How terrible is Shchutei Chutz? Is it really Shchutei Chutz? Not necessarily Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz only where it's set aside for being offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Shchutei Chutz is curse. Serious business. If you have an animal that's supposed to go in the Beis HaMikdash, you take it outside, you shechted it outside, it's a chiv curse. Is Shkudi Obama Shkudi Chutz? Not necessarily, because it wasn't sanctified in the Chatzil to go into the Beis HaMikdash. It was only sanctified to be offered outside in Obama. Okay, I don't know the details, but it was an Avera Lishma. It's an Avera. You're not allowed to. The Torah says you're not allowed to offer carbon on the Bama, the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's an Avera, so no, we look the other way because there are bigger battles to fight. That is the simple approach. The answer you hear all fits into that mold, into that template off of the answer. But I saw on the Das Sofrim, it appears as taking these, he's extrapolating what the Torah Gemara understands. You know something with yourselves, and it is an awesome chiddush. I mean, it's incredible. You have to really check out if this is correct. And what he says is, you know, why is Yerushalayim? What I was saying today, you say this to someone today, it's like absurd to say such a thing today. It's like borders on insanity. But you have to understand there's a possibility this really makes sense. And it really fits in the Pasuk well. Why is Yerushalayim the Beis HaMikdash? Why not have the Beis HaMikdash in Eilat? Why not in Meiron? Why not have the Beis HaMikdash Beis Lechem? Maybe in Hebron. Hebron is a nice place to have by the kever of the Avos. Why Yerushalayim? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, nowhere, that Yerushalayim is the Mokom HaMikdash, the Mokom HaShuras HaShchina. In fact, Shiloh, up in the north. That was the place of the Beis HaMikdash for 369 years. It's not Yerushalayim. It's a different place. The place that Hashem will choose. So who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose Yerushalayim? Or just because Avraham Avinu, we have a tradition, Avraham Avinu, the Cana took place on this mountain? So there were other events that took place, the Harak Harmel, there were many places, there were many different biblical events that happened in different places, you can find them in the Midrashim. So it happened here, it happened there. The Torah doesn't say in the Torah anywhere Yerushalayim. All that we have Malki Tzedek Melech Shalim Hoisi Lechem V'Yoyim, and Avraham Avinu called Hamakom Yeroya, and so we call it say Yerushalayim. So what? That should be the place of the Beis HaMikdash. There are many holy places in Eretz Yisrael that can be the Beis HaMikdash. All the Torah says is L'shichnoi Sidshu V'asa Shama Hamokam Asher Yivchar, the place Hashem will choose. David HaMelech Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, figured out. It's mystical. There's nothing concrete. There's no mikor other than pure emuna in the Navi's words. A fascinating thing that Yerushalayim and this plot of land is the place Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecho L'shakein Shmo Sham. That David HaMelech Ruach HaKodesh, you have to be a maimin in David HaMelech. You have to believe in him. And then Shlomo HaMelech, his son, came along and took it a step further, and David laid the foundation, and Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. There were people in Klal Yisrael. This is what it appears that he's saying. I'm going to tell you an awesome chiddush. Don't take my word for it. You have to really be mind if this is correct or this is not correct. There were people in Klal Yisrael that challenged David HaMelech. Who says? David, many people thought he was illegitimate. He came from Moab. He's not a loyovim moyovim ve'amoni b'kal Hashem. This is the makom hashchina. This is the makom hashayivcha Hashem. I disagree. No, it's not. The makom hashayivcha Hashem has yet to be decided. And Yerushalayim, the mikdash, is no different than the bama gedola of Nova Givon. After the Churban Shiloh, we went into a state, a period of time, of there is no Menucha. We're now at a state of Bomo Samutar, and we have a Bomo Gedola called Novi Givon. That's where the Mishkan was located, but that wasn't the Mikdash. It was a big structure. It must have been a magnificent structure there for those 57 years, and that's where all of the Korbanos Sibur were offered. The Talmud Shel Shachar, the Talmud Shel Narbayim, and the Musafim, and everyone came there, probably were Oil Regal there to be in the place of the Hashras Hashchina. But that wasn't the permanent resting place. Along comes David, I have a permanent resting place. The permanent resting place is going to be Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. That's going to be it. People said, who says?
He invoked Ruach HaKodesh.
So not everyone, you have to be a maimon in Ruach HaKodesh. Are you a believer in David HaMelech?
It's a matter of believing in David HaMelech. You have to, it was believing in that David had Ruach.
Yes, that's right. So did everyone accept him? We know for a fact that he wasn't accepted right away. For the first 7 years, there was Shaul. There was a fight between Shaul and David, and then Avshalom wanted to kill his own father. David had a lot of tzaras in his life. There were a lot of rebellions. When people challenged the legitimacy of his malchus from the very first day, he comes from Moab. Well, a Klal Yisrael doesn't take a king from Moab. The Torah, it's a Feresh Apostle. Lo Yovin Moyavi B'Kal Hashem. What's going on here? He has Ruach HaKodesh. He's going to tell us the place of Shavif HaShem Lokech L'Shakein Shmo Shom. Okay, so David HaMelech, he pulled it off. He built a new Bama Gedola. He built a third Nov Givon, and now we have Yerushalayim. But it's not the permanent resting place. If it's not the permanent resting place, you can build bamos. Lichat chila. Al pi halacha, you're allowed to have a bama wherever you want in the entire area of Yisrael. Just like there was no disagreement in halacha, everyone lichat chila was allowed to build a bama during the time of Noivi Givon. Everyone lichat chila was allowed to build a bama during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is not the permanent resting place. When Mashiach will come, he'll go and he'll tell us, Hamakam Yivchar Hashem. Who knows? Maybe the Makom Yivchar Hashem will be some hotel in the long Mediterranean. It'll be some place over there. Who says this is going to be the Makom Yivchar Hashem? The nail is incredible. The fact that a person built a bama wasn't just stamina veir l'shma. This is a deeply religious person who's just said the Mikdash, it's not the Menucha and the Menachala. When the Torah tells you, we hear, good, very nice. It's a nice structure. It's a nice center. It's a place of Torah, and the Shechina is definitely there. But this is not the end. It's not the end game. It's not ki lo yibos mat'ot el hamnucha l'hanachla. And you have to understand, if you're saying that's true, that totally downgrades the whole status of Klal Yisrael. It's like Klal Yisrael, we have something here, something there. There's no center location. The whole authority of Klal Yisrael, it's not in its full glory. Yeah, it's a nice yeshiva, it's a nice organization, but it doesn't represent me. I'll give a donation, I'll go to the dinner, but I don't fully hold from this organization. If I have a relative, and they aren't in the relative, I'll come, I'll pay homage, I'll... But it's not Klal, it's not the end game of Klal Yisrael. Memela, I'll pay halacha, I'm mutu l'chatchila to build the bama. Building the bama delegitimized to a certain degree the central nature of what the Beis HaMikdash is for Klal Yisrael. Yeshayi here says to Klal Yisrael, you're making a big mistake. How dare you challenge David HaMelech? How dare you challenge Shlomo HaMelech? Pasuk Yudbeis, he says, Asher Omar Aleihem, Zos HaMenucha, the Beis HaMikdash is the real deal. Ki lo yibosim arata el HaMenucha v'yel HaNachla, the Mikdash is the Menucha. It's just like Shiloh was the Menucha. This is the Menucha. This is the place Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokech L'Shakein Shmo Sham, and therefore you're not allowed to build Bamos. This is the central authority of Klal Yisrael, what takes place in the Mikdash HaMikdash. Zos HaMenucha HaNichu L'Oyev. And he says, why are you running from Bama to Bama to Bama? You know, people, they have, like I say, have a million shuls. I daven Shacharis here. I daven Mincha only Monday, Thursday. I daven because I have to get out early. So I daven Shacharis in this shul Monday, Thursday. I daven Mincha in this shul. And the other days of the week, I daven Sunday, I have a different shul for Sunday. And Maariv, I go here depending on the week. You run from place to place to place to place. You're tired. Why don't you just settle on one mokoyim, one... Hanichu lo'oyev, stop running from Bama. Can you imagine the Bamas became like Shtiblach? Come, well, you come to Shabbos to my Bama, and we'll go next week to your Bama, and we'll go. Yeah, that's what it became. It became a society of Shtiblach where there's no central authority. You're tired, aren't you? Tired already from running from here to here? Hanichu lo'oyev, leave alone the people who are tired. Stop, give rest to the people who are tired. Vizos Hamargeya, focus on the Beis HaMikdash, this one central location where everyone should belong. It's the permanent resting place of the Shechina, Mokam Asher Yivchar Hashem. But v'lo ovel l'shemoa, you don't want to listen to me. Deaf ears. You're telling me, no, it's not yet. We're not yet holding Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokech. We're not. Memela. Bama Samutar, it's just Yushalayim, the Samigdash, another Noivik. It's incredible in Pshat. It makes perfect, it fits in, it makes, opens up the whole idea of Malachim, the Bamos, he was not able. Doesn't mean he wasn't able. You talk about the Bamos, people look at it like the symptom. Does the doctor treat the symptom, or does the doctor treat the illness? If you treat the illness, mainly the symptoms go away. So the popular Pshat of that he didn't remove the Bamos, it's just like a symptom. Oh, there's a sin, and Avera L'Shema, he looked the other way. It's not the shot. He didn't take away the bombs. He failed in galvanizing Klal Yisrael to recognize that this is the final resting place of the Shechina. Hamokam Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokech. Now, to us, it sounds absurd, because we're brought up as children, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the Beis HaMikdash. It's unthinkable that the Beis HaMikdash can be some, that there's yet to be another place to be selected as going to be the Mokam Asher HaShechina. It's unthinkable, such a thing. But you have to go back to the time. Going back more than 2,000 years ago. More, you're going back almost 2,500 years ago. You have to. How do these people live? What were they thinking? It was a chiddush that David HaMelech. Can you imagine today? Someone comes along, an individual, and he says, "I have Ruach HaKodesh, and this is what's going to be. This is the place." It's not going to happen. He's not going to be accepted so quickly. It's not so pashut. Nothing is so simple. We take everything for granted because it's already 2,500 years, and we don't think about much about this. But it's an awesome insight into the way they've lived and think, and it fits perfectly in the pasuk. Zos hamenucha. It's a reference to the pasuk ki loibosem anota el hamenucha v'el hanachla. And Shishai is saying, what do you think? There's going to be another place. Zos hamenucha. This is it. Okay. On this pasuk, he says, "Serve Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash." I don't have the targum. You have the targum in yours? In your Nevi'im?
No.
So it says, just look. You have to look in the targum on this pasuk. The Mikros goes, "Plach Hashem, plach Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Beis Hamikdash." So what is, I read the targum. I said, it's interesting. This is not what it says in the Mitzudas, in the Radak. All the we're showing them on the page. I look, what? What does the Beis Hamikdash have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. Then I saw the Stas Sofer, and he compares it to the Bama. Oh, now I understand what the Targum is really saying. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. It's such a chiddush, it might be too much of a chiddush. But I don't know. You know, all of these type of things, you have to be mine. So you have to take it with a grain of salt and requires further elaboration. You have a Mikros Gadolos? How do we get the tagging? Just two words. Okay, go ahead.
Targum's over here.
Targum, here it is. Can you base? The Amrim Lahon Nidiyaya Dain Beis Mikdasha. This Beis HaMikdash Pilachu Bey. Worship, serve Hashem here. So what does he mean to say? That's not what it says. And look at all the Rishonim on the page. They're talking about, don't rob. Be gentle. Give someone menuchas hanefesh, and you'll also have menuchas hanefesh. No mention of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash. This Beis HaMikdash. In contrast to what? They're going to serve Avodah. Maybe means Avodah Zar. No. So this is a very interesting approach.
One of them, the Farshim, picked up on a primary source, the Targum Yonasan.
Well, the Das Sofer is picking up on this. The ultimate primary source, obviously, is this. It's true. The Mitzudas is always focusing on the simplest parish interpretation of the pasuk. Rashi is not like the Targum. Rashi is very heavily steeped into Medrash and Talmud. And the Talmud, every time the Gemara talks about Psukim in Nevi'im, it's always homiletics. It's not pshat. The Gemara quotes Nevi'im nonstop. Ruba, it's homiletics. It's not. So that's Rashi. Then you have like the Ibn Ezra, and you have the Radak is also very midrashic, very homiletics. It's not. Then there are some other Rishonim than other Mefarshim, but this is the Targum. Rashi quotes Targum very often. Rashi very often first he quotes Targum Yonason, and then he goes on. Okay, but this is a very powerful idea, and we'll stop with this today.